following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody this morning? All right. I don't know. I laugh at that life group promo every single time. Maybe I'm just, that shows my maturity level. But I'm surprised. Or some of you are just still asleep from this morning. But I want you to reach into your service guide and pull out a sheet that looks just like this. It says life groups up in the upper corner. And so we're going to do something today that we've never done before. But today is the day to sign up for your life groups. And so immediately following service this morning, you're going to take this form on the back. There's a place to write your name, your phone number, and your email address. And we're going to have all of our life group leaders that are hosting life groups this semester. They're going to be out in the foyer. And so we want you to be able to put a name with a face. I know sometimes some people are a little scared to try something new. Well, I don't know that person. I don't know the leader. And so right after we dismiss this afternoon, I want everyone to walk out of here, sign up for a life group. So we've got some great groups. We've got our youth life group, which the Kennedys and the Saavedras do a great job with. We've got a Beauty for Ashes. That's going to be a women's book study group. We've got a mom's play group for mothers with young children. Scott's going to be teaching a Genesis through Revelation Bible study at our Lifeway headquarters. The Veers are going to be hosting a Jesus Is study. The Schweitzers are going to be hosting Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. I was looking at some of the material. I'm kind of jealous I can't be in all of the groups, but that'll sure to be a great time if you're married or engaged to be married. And then Sarah Bierdeman and Rachel Einstein will be hosting a walking / running group that'll get together and just kind of exercise. And listen, this is what we tell people over and over again. Do not do life alone. All right. It's not a matter of if the storm is going to come. It's a matter of when the storm is going to come. And if you're doing life alone, you're not going to have people to support you. So I encourage you to find something that sounds interesting. But can I tell you, it's not even about what the title of the group is. It's about the relationships that you build and having brothers and sisters that will come around you in faith and encourage you and challenge you in the Lord. And so I want to encourage all of you to do that. So you can even fill that out right now. Fill this out. Check the one you're interested in. But then what I want you to do is when we dismiss service, they're all going to be, all the group leaders are going to be standing back there. You may have to ask some questions if you don't know everybody's name, but actually you'll turn this in to the group you want to attend. And then what's going to happen is we're going to add that to our database. We will communicate with you via email to let you know if a group gets canceled or if they have to change a location. So it is important that we have your email. Also, some of you are like, man, I hate stupid paper forms. All right, if you've got our church app, our free church app, you can click on the More section. There's a Life Group button. Click that and you can register for your group right online. Or if you'd like to go to your computer and do that, you can go to the lifeway.org and to the Connect and then Life Groups. But I'd like as many of you as possible to get into a life group. And here's what I know. Every time I've been in a group, my life is transformed and my life has changed. Even when I've been the one leading it and hosting it, God just does so much for us. And so I want to encourage you all to do that. So that's going to happen right after service this morning. Everybody understand? If you understand, give me a thumbs up. All right, good. All right, most people understand. All right. Well, I'd like to start this morning by giving a special welcome to all of those who are listening to our message online. Why don't we give those that join us through cyberspace a big welcome to the Lifeway this morning. Today we are beginning a four-week series entitled, You Asked For It. Everybody say, You Asked For It. All right, I heard some moms say it kind of like they're talking to the kids. You know, well, you asked for it. I'm going to get, you know. No, that's just you asked for it, nothing mean. On Easter Sunday, we passed out a survey, and one of the questions in the survey was, I would like to hear what the Bible says about, and there were a bunch of different ideas written there, and then there was fill in the blank spots. And so what we're doing is during the course of this series, we're going to teach on the four most requested topics from our Easter survey. And so in the weeks to come, we're going to be covering topics like spiritual warfare, how to handle stress. Is anybody here stressed out? Okay, well, a few honest people, all right. All right, we're going to talk about that. Understanding God's will And so these are some of the issues we're going to be addressing. And so you want to make sure that you're here for each of these services, because I know that they'll answer questions really that all of us in different seasons in our lives face. Two young boys were spending the night at their grandparents' house. It was a few weeks before Christmas, and as much as they tried, as little boys tend to have an issue with it, they tried, but they just could not get their minds off of the gifts that they hoped to receive on Christmas morning. And so the youngest brother, he developed what he thought was going to be a fail-proof plan. And so that evening, just before bed, as they knelt beside their beds to say their prayers, he began to pray at the top of his lungs. He just cried out, "God, I pray for a new bicycle. Lord, I need a new Xbox One, God, and a new flat screen TV to go with it." Remember when we used to pray for basketballs and, you know, things like that? You know, the lists have gotten a lot harder. And so, startled, his older brother elbowed him and asked, "Why are you shouting your prayers? God isn't deaf." To which the little brother replied, "No, he isn't, but Grandma is." So this morning I want to ask a question. How many of you here like gifts? If you like gifts, let me see your hands. Wave them proud. Anybody whose hands aren't raised, take them off your Christmas list, all right? Today's topic is really a foundational truth in our church. In fact, this is something that we teach about every single month as part of our growth track. The number one topic of all the requests that came in, the number one topic that people wanted to know more about is spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? What are they all about? And honestly, there's a fair amount of confusion, and really there's been a fair amount of confusion for a long, long time around the topic of spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians 12:1, you can take out your sermon outline and follow along with us. Paul was writing to the early church, and this is what he said. He said, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." In fact, there's another translation that I really like. He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant." All right, how many of you here want to be ignorant? Right, no? Okay, I was hoping I'd get somebody to say, "Yeah, I want to be ignorant." All right, you guys are listening. All right, good. Listen, this isn't just a question that people wrestle with today, but in the early church, people also had questions. And so this morning, I want to start by sharing a few of the different uses of the word gift that we find in the New Testament. And when we see this, the word translated as gift, it actually comes from three different Greek words, and that's what we're going to look at this morning, that each have a little bit of a different meaning. And so, like I said, take out your sermon outline, follow along with us, encourage you to fill in the blanks. Those of you who want the digital interactive version, that's available on our church app. And so while the word gift is used throughout the scriptures, it can be a little confusing because there are different applications, there are different meanings. And so the first one, the first fill in the blank is the gift of eternal life. So when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we are not talking about the gift of eternal life. This word gift means or refers to receiving a gift like you may get on your birthday or for Christmas. It's something that's free. It's undeserved. You didn't earn it. It's something you received because somebody deeply loves you, unless it's a re-gift. And that's a whole nother message for another series, all right? We'll talk about that another time. And so one of the verses where we see this word used is found in Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." And so what that means here is if you've ever committed even one sin, the payment for that sin is death. And so without the cross and Jesus giving for his life, asking for forgiveness wouldn't take care of sin. Sin had to be paid for. But the good news is, continuing on, it says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." In other words, somebody else died for you. It's a free gift that Jesus provided to each and every one of us. So that's one of the ways we see the word gift used in scriptures. The second use of the word gift found in the Bible is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. So throughout the New Testament, you'll find the word gift used in conjunction with being filled with the Spirit of God. As Jesus was ascending into heaven, he told his disciples, listen, you can't handle what you're going to face here on earth by yourself. You're going to need some help. You're going to need something to get you through. I've got a gift for you. And so Jesus tells the disciples, we read this in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. He says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And once again, this is not our topic today, but let me tell you here, just pause here. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a great thing for you to pursue. All you have to do is ask him for it, and he can fill you with his Spirit in a worship setting like we just had. He can fill you in pre-service prayer. He can fill you at a first Wednesday prayer, in your home, in your car, anywhere that you ask him to, he can fill you. And being filled with the Holy Spirit is so important because God wants to give us power. How many of you want to live a life filled with power? Right? And power comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants to direct us. He wants to convict us and comfort us. And that's what the Holy Spirit is all about. But the one that we're going to talk about today, the next blank in your outline is this. It's spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. And I'll tell you that spiritual gifts are found throughout the Bible from the beginning to the very end. And these are completely different from the first two types of gifts that we just talked about. In Romans 12:6, it says this, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And this word that we read here is the word charis, and charis basically means a grace gift. And I believe that God has given each and every one of us in this room various giftings. A charis is something that really, I believe, goes beyond our natural giftings or the things that we were born with. It is a grace gift, meaning it came from God for the purposes of your own fulfillment and for changing the world. And the reason it's called a grace gift is because it's relatively easy for you. After your initial development time of the gift, you'll often find yourself operating in it without giving it much thought, because they motivate us and we're passionate about them and we actually begin to see life through the lens of our charis, through our grace gift. And because it's a grace gift, it's easy for you because you love doing it. For me, just as an example, it's easy to stand up here and communicate. Now, I work hard to be up here, but it's easy. While for others of you, just the thought of being on stage is enough to make you sick to your stomach. While others in this room absolutely love working with other people's kids. When I was in high school, I served in kids ministry with my cousin Sarah. Many of you know Sarah. Sarah and Craig lead our kids department. They do an amazing job. But here's what I've discovered. The older I get, the less of a gifting, the less of a grace gifting I have in that area. I mean, if you give me a roll of duct tape where I can make them sit down and be quiet, right? And listen to me, maybe, just maybe, I could do it. But at this season in my life, I'm just telling you, you probably don't want me serving in kids' way. I no longer have the grace for it. But for others, even though it's tiring, the kids' enthusiasm and their movement and their passion for learning new things, it literally energizes them. Because they have a grace gift for it. And every single one of us in this room have a grace gift. God has given each of us a charis. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift. There it is again, charis. The charis that God has given you. And so you need to work at it. Those of you that have ever gone camping and built a fire, right? You don't just start with a big log. You'll be trying to get that. No, you get the kindling. You get the dry stuff. You get it together and you blow on it. And you start to just start it off slowly, but you got to work at it until it grows into its full-blown potential. And so if you're sitting here this morning, you might possibly be wondering, well, if this is something that God has given all of us, why do so many of us struggle to understand it? And I think there are several reasons why people are confused about spiritual gifts. One of them is because some denominations teach that while spiritual gifts happened in the Bible, they don't deny that. They believe that they have long since stopped. In other words, when the last of the original apostles died, so did all the miracles and so did all the gifts. And this theology is actually called cessationism, which comes from the word where we get our word cease. And so they basically believe that God needed spiritual gifts for the biblical times at the early church, but he doesn't need it or doesn't want to do it today. But here's the problem with that. That doctrine isn't found in the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. In fact, I want you to listen. Jesus said the exact opposite. In John 14, 12, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done." So what are the same works? Healed the sick. He raised the dead. He spoke prophetic words. All of these things Jesus did. And then he says, "And even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father." Listen, can I tell you this morning, the great physician never intended to close up shop. God is still a miracle working God. Do you believe that this morning? A couple of months ago, a lady who attends our church experienced a notable miracle. She walked into the emergency room. She was immediately admitted into ICU, and she was told to prepare for emergency surgery, and she was told the fact that this surgery would paralyze her. And so we prayed over her, and a couple of days later, after no surgery, she was released and walked into the car and got into the car in her own power. God still works miracles. And I believe that some people are afraid of spiritual gifts because they can't always explain it. They can't explain why sometimes God heals and why other times he chooses not to. Why sometimes there's a word of prophecy in a moment of need, but other times it seems that God is a million miles away. Listen, that should never keep us from pursuing all that God has for us. So that's one of the reasons. Another reason people are confused about spiritual gift is that while there are, depending on what you read and what your studies believe, there are about 24 of them found in the Bible, and most people are fine with 23 of them. There's actually just one of them that they struggle with. There's one gift that makes people nervous, and that is the gift of tongues. I've never heard anyone say, "Man, stay away from me with that mercy stuff. You know, stay away from me with your faith and healing. I don't want to be healed. I don't want any miracles. I don't want that stuff." No, I've never heard that. But many people don't like to talk about spiritual gifts because they're not sure what to do with this tongues gift. And while this is not what we're going to talk about today, I just want to encourage you to not be afraid of anything that God has created to help us. Let me just say it this way. Let me just break it down and be as real as I can. You don't let people who are strange, don't let people who abuse things and misuse and misrepresent things keep you from the gifts that God has for each and every one of us. You just need to simply pursue God and all that he has for you. But probably the biggest reason that spiritual gifts are confusing is because many of us, I found myself for part of my life in this category as well, we have an improper view of the church and of church leadership. And if you go back all the way to the beginning of time and we read through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, you would find that God worked through priests. And only priests were allowed to go into the place where the Spirit of God dwelled. And so the priest would enter into where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, and he would meet on behalf of the people. But when Jesus came, the Bible says that he tore the veil that separated us from God. He rent it from top to bottom. And the reason that he did this was so that every one of us would have access directly to him. And so I want to tell you this morning, when you have a need, you don't have to go through a pastor. You don't have to go through a priest. You have the same direct access to God that I have. Essentially, Jesus was saying that every special ability that I gave to the priests and that I gave to the prophets, I'm going to make it available unto whosoever will, to the entire church. But as soon as the church age that we read about in the Bible died down, what happened? They started setting up priests again. In fact, they started naming them terms that you can't even find in the Bible, words like clergy and and laymen and laity. And what happened was an elite group of church leaders rose up who promoted a false doctrine. They taught this false doctrine that they were the only ones who could truly access God, that the Word of God was, in fact, in certain time frames, the Word of God was actually taken out of the language that the common man spoke. And so what happened was, is in the 1500s, men like Martin Luther and others came along and they said, hey, wait a second, the Bible doesn't say that. And so they led the Protestant Reformation, and they rebelled against this false teaching of the church. They taught a doctrine that is referred to as the priesthood of all believers, that everybody has access to God, and everybody can have the gifts of God working inside of them. And then ironically, right after this period, even the denominations that were created out of the Reformation, what happened? Man got involved. When man gets involved, we tend to screw things up. And they went right back to setting up pastors and leaders as exclusive people. And can I just tell you this morning that I believe that this is such a shame. It's a travesty. You know, so many people will come and they'll talk to me and say, well, you're the preacher, Andrew. You're the pastor, Andrew. I can't do that. I've known people to get upset because the pastor didn't come and instead sent another team member to pray for them when they were in the hospital. But they didn't want anybody else to pray for them except the pastor. It's almost as if I have, you know, in my office a Lifeway bright green phone, you know, that rings straight to God's throne room because I'm the pastor of the church. Can I tell you, that phone doesn't exist. If you've got one, let me know. I don't want to burst your bubble here this morning, but I don't have anything more spiritually than what you have access to. What God has, his gifts are for each and every one of us. You see, so many people, they look at the preacher as someone who's been hired to bring a good message. You know, someone that they can walk up to after a service and say, oh, Pastor, that was a great message. Powerful. But now that you're done with that, Pastor, I need you to go to the hospital and visit my sick family member. Pastor, can you arrange something where we go and feed the homeless? Pastor, can you start a life group to help people with addictions? And after that, Pastor, I'm really struggling in my marriage. Could you counsel us? And once you've got all of that done, Pastor, can you make sure that you've got another great message prepared for next Sunday? Can I tell you that's not what the Bible says? I'm not the preacher. Any more than all of us in this room, you and we are the preacher. In fact, in Ephesians 4, it says that God sent some people to be pastors. But the very next verse states the job responsibility of the pastor, and that is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. My primary job as a pastor is to equip you to do the ministry. Is to equip you to walk into your destiny. As your pastor, I'm determined to help you find and develop the gift inside of you. And you all are going to be the preacher. As I mentioned earlier, this is one of the foundational truths that our church is built on. 1 Peter 2:9, it says this, for you, not preachers, but he says, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests. In other words, you are in the ministry. You are a minister. You're a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So if that's true, then what is a spiritual gift? The next blank in your outline is this: a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability that God gives to each of his children so that together they can advance his purposes in the world. This is God's hope. This is God's plan for changing the world. But there's a problem. Barna did some research, and they discovered in the United States of America that 87% of the body of Christ in America have never discovered their spiritual gifting. Imagine what your body would look like this morning if 80% of it didn't know what it was and was not fulfilling its design purpose? We probably would be dead. At best, we'd all be invalids in this room. And I believe that that's why so many times the church isn't the change agent that it was meant to be. We can't make the impact that we're called because many of us have not discovered or are willing to activate their gifting to make a difference in this world. And so what do we do? Well, the Bible gives us some encouragement. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, follow the ways of love and eagerly, everybody say eagerly, desire gifts of the Spirit. And so how do you do this? Let me give you three steps, three things that you can do. The first one down at the bottom of the front page of your outline is this. Number one, discover the gifts God has given me. Discover it. Go on an exploration of your gifts. I promise you, it's there. God has placed something inside of you that when you do that thing, it brings incredible fulfillment to you. And if you'll develop that thing, if you'll foster it, if you'll allow it to grow, it will transform the world you live in. I believe that your spiritual gifts are wrapped up inside how God designed you. God created everything about you. How you think, how you feel, what makes you laugh, what makes you cry. He created your emotions. He created your passions. In fact, I love this. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, Psalms 139 says, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Listen, I want somebody to hear this morning. God did not create you and then think, that's an odd one. What can I do with that one? No. He had the thing to do first. And then he created you to fulfill that thing. Listen, how you're made will point to what you're supposed to do. Your design reveals your destiny. Your design reveals your destiny. So we believe that one of the most important things for you to do is to go on an exploration of your design, your personality, your temperament, your passions, what motivates you, your spiritual giftings. It's so awesome how our spiritual gifts coordinate and how they work together. I want to give you an example of how this plays out if you're ever hanging out with a group of Christians and eating, because that's kind of what Christians do. We just kind of hang out and eat. Oh, wow, tough crowd here this morning. Did that hit too close to home? I'm sorry. But you're out in a group of people, you're eating, and somebody drops their plate. The person in the group with the gift of mercy will go, oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay? I just want to just embrace you and give you a big hug. The preacher in the room will say, well, that's what happens when you have too much food on your plate. You just need to change. Turn or burn, baby. They want to tell you why and what you did wrong. And the one who has the serving gift immediately goes without saying, anyone saying anything, they just start cleaning up. Those with the teaching gift will say, well, if you look at the plate, it's supposed to be balanced. And if you'll put your hand in the middle and don't have all the food on one side, they just have this need to explain everything to you. Now, you might think otherwise, but it is a gift. It is a gift. And the person with the gift of exhortation, they'll stand up and say, oh, that's okay, brother. There's a champion inside of you. You're going to be all right. The individual in the room with the gift of giving will say, here, you can have my plate. It's the last hot wing. And our favorite, those with the gift of administration, God help us all who are administrators, will say, hey, Sue, you go get a mop. Bob, you pick up the plate. Mary, you wipe up the carpet. They just start ordering everybody around, right? This is how it works, the body of Christ together. You may not even know that it is a spiritual gift, but we all have at least one of these spiritual gifts active and working in our lives. You may walk into a room like this, into an auditorium, and even though we're all looking at the same things, we all see things differently. Can I tell you, God did that? Which is why I love and, you know, why I love in being able to discover God's purpose and God's plan for your life. In fact, the only announcement that we have at this church every single week, week after week after week, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, some of you are getting tired of hearing it. I keep waiting for you to come, but it's for Growth Track. Why? Because Growth Track is a tool to help you to begin to discover the gift that's inside of you. That's the whole purpose of it. And let me tell you, as a church, we cannot change our community simply because I preach good or simply because the music is good. We will change the world when our entire body of Christ activates and does the thing that God has called us to do. Amen. I believe that. Here's the second one. This is so big. Number two, embrace the gifts God has given me. Embrace it. Somebody say embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace it. You know, some of us here in this room, we covet other gifts. In other words, we have this gift, but instead we want that one. Listen, don't do that. Take the one that's yours because it's the only one, I promise you, where you will find true fulfillment in your life. There's another group of people, you're sitting here and you know your gift. It's right in front of you, but because you have a horrible view of yourself, you just won't move forward and do it. Romans 12:3 says, don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Verse 4, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So I want you to hear me this morning. We need each other. We've all been given different gifts to complete the body. And I don't want this to come across as legalistic this morning, but I want you to hear this. When you aren't here on a Sunday, we miss you. If your giftings aren't here and in operation, we are not able to accomplish the things that God has called us to accomplish as our church. And so I encourage you just to get rid, if you've got an unhealthy view of yourself, get rid of that and ask God instead to show you how he sees you. Because he sees you as a masterpiece. He designed you to fulfill a specific purpose. God believes in you. So number one, discover the gifts. Number two, embrace the gifts. And then finally, if you're here for any length of time, you're going to consistently be challenged. Number three, use the gifts God has given me. Use the gifts God has given me. I encourage you to join with my last count. It was 62 other people here at the Lifeway Church who are already doing this. We call it the Dream Team. These are people who have found a spot where they're actively touching and changing the world. And that's our dream for you. That's the journey that we want to take you on. And so if you're new to our church, you couldn't have possibly come on a better Sunday to hear the vision that we have. We put it in our service guide. We put it on the screen. We talk about this every month in the Growth Track. We exist as a church to do these four things. Number one is to help people know God, to help people find freedom, to help people discover their purpose. And then ultimately, after those things happen, you are able to get a part of a team and begin making a difference. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're wondering, well, what is my spiritual gift? The next step in your journey, I want you to write this down. I want to encourage you to take and complete the growth track. The growth track. Start to learn about the way God designed you. Start to figure out the way that God has put you together. Your design reveals your destiny. In fact, I'll make this promise to you if you're sitting here. If you're skeptical, I promise you, give me 1 year of your life and do all the things that we do as a church. Come to services, do growth track, get into a life group, do the soap reading, find part of the dream team to serve on. And at the end of the year, I promise you will be blown away by how much God has changed you. How much God has healed you. How much God has put some of your problems into proper perspective. You'll be shocked as to how much meaning your life really has. Each day will be a new adventure to look forward to. That's a promise. What do you have to lose? This isn't in my notes, but I ask, what do you have to lose? Some of us, we dread Sunday night, knowing that we have to go to bed to get up to a job that we don't want to go to. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we get a brief respite. Look forward to the weekend. We start the rat race over and over and over and over again. And we get the house and it doesn't satisfy. And we get the new car and it doesn't satisfy. And we go on the vacation and it doesn't satisfy. And we get the promotion at work and it doesn't satisfy. Why? Because God has designed each and every one of us to fulfill a specific purpose, and your life will never make sense until you do that thing. One of my jobs as a pastor, as we talked earlier, was to equip, but the other one is to do everything I can to help prepare you for eternity. And can I tell you this morning, eternity is a lot closer than you think. It's just around the corner. Heaven is closer than you think. And so there are two questions this morning that I want you to consider. The first is, are you in a right relationship with Jesus? Have you accepted the sacrifice of what Jesus did for you at Calvary? And the second question is this, what are you doing with the gift? What are you doing with the charis that God has created you with? Are you using it generously? Are you letting it flow through you to make a difference in others' lives? Can I tell you this morning, the truth is that the process of using and discovering your gifts cannot even begin until you answer that first question that I asked, until you settle your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your life will never make sense until you connect with the one who created you, the one who has the book on the way that you were designed. And so if you're sitting here and you've never done that, you're wondering, well, what do I do about that? Listen, you simply just give him your life. You turn away from following your own paths and you commit to following him, to going his direction. With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, no one looking around, if you're ready to do that, if you're ready to make that decision, God, I'm ready to follow you. Or maybe I was doing it half-heartedly, but today I'm making the choice again to renew my commitment. If that's where you find yourself this morning, I want you to just boldly lift your hand right now. Is there anybody who would say yes to Jesus? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, I see your hand in the back. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. I want to pray together. If you don't know the words to say, I'll help you. But I want you all just to begin to talk to God. Lord Jesus, I thank you for paying the price for my sins. Lord, I thank you for paying the debt that I owed, what I deserve to pay. To receive today, Lord, I receive what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I surrender my life completely to you. Lord, thank you for setting me free. I ask that you would come and live inside of me, Lord, change me. Lord, fan into flames, Lord God, the gifts that you've given me. Allow me to touch the world with your love. Lord, you made each and every one of us. We were made for this time. It's not a mistake that we're sitting here today. It's not a mistake that we're in this town and in this place and at the job that we're at. We were made for this. And so, Lord God, I pray that you would take us on a journey. Lord God, and on that journey that we would discover our purpose. Lord, those of us that have an improper view of ourselves, Lord God, I pray that you would heal us. Lord, for those who have been sitting in the stands, that have been spectators but have never gotten involved, Lord God, I pray that you would challenge us today to use our gifts to change the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Why don't you stand and clap your hands?
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org. We'll be right back.